As we come to God's Word this morning, we'll be in 1 Corinthians. Chapter 11. So I've had different people ask me, where are we going? We finished Zechariah, where are we headed next? We're actually headed to 1 Corinthians in a couple weeks. It'll be a couple weeks before we get there, but I have a couple other things I want to cover first. But we are in 1 Corinthians this morning, chapter 11. And I just want to focus our thoughts this morning on communion. That's what we're going to focus on. That's what we're going to talk about. That's what the sermon's about. It's all about preparation as we are about to partake of these elements that are here. I just want to spend this time thinking about that. Explaining it, internalizing it. Often we just kind of throw it on the end of our service, which isn't bad, but sometimes I think we just need to take some time and just remember, why is it that we celebrate communion? And I want to start off with this thought that it's not a sacrament, right? We are doing this, we don't participate in a sacrament. We are not trying to obtain grace. We are not trying to earn God's favor. These are just two elements that God said, Jesus said, that we should use to remember Him. And so that's what we're doing. We're remembering, and He chose these two elements, the bread and the cup. The bread and the cup. And as you think of Passover, right? Think of Passover. I don't know if you've ever participated in a Seder meal, which is the Passover meal, the traditional Jewish Passover meal. I don't know if you've ever done that, but there's a lot of elements to it, right? There's a lot that goes into that. There are a lot of things that are a part of that process and that whole meal and that celebration of Passover and the observing of Passover. And so we understand Jesus was in the middle of celebrating Passover, and He took these two elements, bread and the cup, the wine that was in the cup, right? Those two things to remember Him by. He didn't take the horseradish. Man, I'm kind of bummed about that because I love horseradish. Right? He didn't take the horseradish. He didn't take a piece of lamb and make that part of the communion ceremony. Right? He didn't take the bitter herbs and all the things. Right? There's a whole bunch of other things that Jesus could have taken and used, but He didn't. And certainly all those elements, the whole Passover feast, all speak of Jesus. All speak of Messiah. But Jesus just took these two to symbolize, to remember Him, and to remind us of the work of salvation. Right? The work of salvation. The cost of the gospel. Right? That Jesus did for us. To remember that by. And so in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, I know we just read this in our scripture reading, but I'll reread a few of these verses. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23. It says, "For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which He was betrayed, took bread. And when He had given thanks, He broke it and said, 'Take, eat, this is My body which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of Me.' In the same manner, He also took the cup after supper, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in My blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of Me.'" So Paul here in 1 Corinthians is kind of taking what Jesus had done and repeating it and reminding the church at Corinth, this is what communion is all about. This is what the Lord's Supper is all about. And we're reminded there are these two elements. There is the bread, right? There's the bread. So just for a few moments, let's think about the bread. Right? And you think of the bread that was part of communion, or part of Passover, sorry. The bread that was part of Passover was unleavened. Right? It's unleavened bread. Actually, I don't know if you've ever seen a loaf of unleavened bread. It looks like a big, huge cracker. Right? It looks like a big, huge saltine cracker. It's just flat. And there's no yeast. It hasn't risen. That's the bread that is used during the Passover meal. And it was a reminder of the bread they eat as they were preparing to leave Egypt, to escape from slavery, right? There was this bread. You didn't have time. God told them, you don't have time to make bread. So mix your bread up, bake your bread, but no yeast, no time to make it rise, none of that. And so here's this bread without yeast. That is the bread that is part of the Passover service, and so that is what, you know, we celebrate with, is this bread that is without yeast. And it was a reminder of their escape and the need to be ready to leave, to go, to escape slavery. And certainly is symbolic of Christ, as scriptures use so often. And they see used so often, they use yeast and as an example, symbolic of sin. Now, Jesus used that several different times in his ministry, talking about yeast, talking about the leaven of the Pharisees, and just talking about how sin and yeast are similar, and sins like yeast, it permeates everything, it affects everything. Not that yeast in itself is bad, but it's symbolic of how sin is. And so here is Christ, and he says, this bread represents me, I am this bread. And so it's without sin, it's without yeast. And certainly that is our Christ, that is our Messiah, who is completely without sin. And this bread, we're told, represents him, and it was broken. As they would partake of this bread, and they would take it out, they would break a piece off. And Jesus said, this is of me, it is broken, and it's a reminder, it's symbolic of the suffering that Jesus would go through. The physical suffering, the suffering of his spirit in that as he hung on the cross, as he was rejected by the Father. And then the suffering. So this bread represents certainly that Christ is without sin. It represents the suffering that he went through. Why? Right? Why? Because we are sinners, right? We are not without sin, right? We're not that way. We have sin. We are permeated with sin, our own sin. We are separated from God. We are lost. We deserve hell. And so Christ says, I am this bread. I am the one who is completely without sin, and I'm the one who is going to suffer for you. Romans chapter 3, verse 10 says, as is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. Right? The scripture tells us over and over, we are not righteous, we are not good, there's nothing we can do to deserve God's favor. There's nothing we can do to reconcile ourselves to God. We are helpless. Romans 3:23 says, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Right? Oh, that's all of us. We have fallen short. And it's not that we're trying to earn God's favor. It's the fact that we are rejected by God because of our sin. Right? We are rejected by Him. He has to reject us. The justice, the righteousness of His nature causes Him to say, I cannot stand you. You are offensive. That's our sin. Because we have all sinned. And so we justly deserve death. We justly deserve hell. We justly deserve eternal separation from God. We all do. We all deserve that because of our sin. Romans 5:12 says, therefore, just as through one man sin entered the world, and death through sin, and thus death spread to all men, because all sin, right? Death. Because of this sin, there is death. We think of Adam's sin, right? And the corruption that entered this world, the death that entered this world because of Adam. And we are condemned, not for Adam's sin, we are condemned for our own sin. My sin. God judges me, righteously judges me, and holds me accountable for my own sin. And I deserve eternal death. I'm going to die physically, right? And I can blame Adam for that. But the eternal death I deserve, the separation from God for eternity in hell, that's my fault, right? That's on me. I deserve that, and I do. Romans 6:23 says, for the wages of sin is death, right? The wages of sin, right? What I justly deserve, what I have earned is death, separation. The biblical definition of death is separation. And that's what scriptures speak of. We are separated from God because of our sin. We deserve that. And that is what we justly deserve. Now, last part of Romans 6:23 says this. But. Right? But. But the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Right? But the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Right? Not death. But life, eternal life. in Jesus Christ. Why? Why? How can that be? Because he's the bread. Because he suffered and died. He was broken for us. He took my punishment, the death that I deserve. He took that upon himself. He endured it. He experienced it in my place. Jesus Christ suffered physical, right? Physical death. Spiritual death. He was separated from the Father. He experienced that. He experienced that death. He experienced the suffering in his body and in his spirit. He endured that. He experienced everything that I deserve. Jesus Christ endured for me. And we remember that as we partake of the bread. That is what that's symbolic of what Christ has done for me. That he substituted himself in my place. Hey, we remember that. The one who is without sin was a substitute for me. That's the bread. That's what we have in Christ. That is what Christ has done for us. We remember the suffering that he has gone through. And then the other element that Jesus pulls out of this Passover is the cup. He took a cup, right? Filled with wine. There are those that say this wine was mixed with water. I have no idea. I don't know. I don't know how strong this wine was. I have no idea. It doesn't really matter, does it? Now, certainly it was very common in that day to mix wine with water to purify it. Right? To purify it. That was a very common practice in that day. What this contained, I don't know. It doesn't really matter. Now, we don't use wine here, just to warn you, right? We use grape juice. Right? Just a fruit, or the juice that comes from the grapes. It's not corrupted. Doesn't have alcohol in it. There are churches that use regular wine, and that's fine. But it's not so much about that. It's about this cup that Jesus took. And we're told that we know that during the Passover, if you've ever done that, the cup, everybody's got a cup. And at different times during this ceremony, you drink from the cup. And there's four different times that this cup is taken up and people, you drink from this cup. And each cup represents something different. Every time you drink from it, it represents something different. And so as we look at the Passover meal that Jesus is celebrating, we see that Jesus took the cup for the third time. Right? This is the third cup of the Passover meal, and it is the cup of blessing. It's the cup of blessing. And so Jesus said, take this cup, and this cup represents my blood. This cup is to be, as you drink this, remember my blood. Right? My blood. That's what Jesus is saying. The contents of this cup represent my blood. This cup of blessing. Right? That his blood was spilt for us. And certainly within that, we understand there's this cleansing from sin. From sin. Now during the Passover meal, they remembered the sacrifice of the Passover lamb, the applying of the blood of the lamb to the doorpost so that the death angel would pass over. Right? And so we understand that Christ is our Passover lamb, that because of his blood, that our sin is passed over, that God, right, no longer looks at us, no longer sees our sin, but judgment is passed over. But certainly so much more than that. Right, so much more than any old Passover lamb could accomplish. Not that God just passes over, but we are completely cleansed from sin. All sin. All sin. Right? Jesus certainly took our punishment. Right? He took our place. He suffered for us. But not only that, he deals with the problem. Hey, he deals with our problem, and our problem is sin. So it wasn't that he just took our punishment. He has also cleansed us from the offense. He has cleansed us from sin. And that which separated us from God is now gone. It's gone. Forever. The sins that I have committed, gone. The sins that I'm currently committed, gone. Sins I will commit, gone. Completely cleansed of sin. Not just original sin, but all sin, my sin. And as Paul says here, that it's a cup of the new covenant. Right? That this covenant that God enters in with us based on the blood of Jesus Christ, this promise of eternal life. Eternal life. John 14:6 says, Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and life. No one comes to the Father except through me. He made that statement right after celebrating Passover with his disciples. And he reminded them, it's only through me. Right? And so as we partake of communion, it also is a reminder, as we take the bread and the cup, that there is only way to, or there's only one way to God. Right? There's only one way. And that is through Jesus Christ. That's it. There's no other way. You can have as much faith as you want in whatever you want, but unless that faith is in Jesus Christ, you're lost and you're going to hell. Right? There's only one way. It is through Jesus Christ. There's only one way that we are accepted by God, and that is by the blood of Jesus Christ. Salvation was purchased by the blood of Christ. And so now salvation, because of what Christ has done, is offered as a free gift, right? Now, it had a cost to it. The cost is the death, the suffering of Jesus Christ. But it is offered to all those who would accept it. It is offered freely. And that gift is accepted by faith. It is accepted by faith. Romans 10:9-10 and also 13 says, but if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. By faith, right? How is it that we accept this gift of salvation? It is through faith. It is by believing in God's provision of salvation through his Son, Jesus Christ. It's the only way. This is the only way. Now, there are those who teach that everyone is saved, right? And I certainly believe the atonement that Christ purchased on the cross is sufficient for all sin. For all sin. Everyone's sin. Who's ever lived, never will live. But it is only applied to those who place their faith in Jesus Christ. Not everyone is going to heaven. Now, scripture is very clear about that. In fact, the vast majority of humanity is going to hell. And we're told, narrow is the way, right? Narrow is the way that leads to everlasting life. And broad is the way to destruction. And so it is by faith that we receive what God has done for us and the salvation that he offers to us. Do we believe? And here's the promise. Romans 8:1 says here, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Right? Those who have placed their faith. We don't have to worry about being condemned. Those who are in Christ Jesus. What is the evidence of that? We walk in the Spirit. Right? Not in the flesh. Not fulfilling the lust of the flesh. But we are now children of God. Having satisfied God's righteous standard by the blood of Jesus Christ. No longer condemned. And so we take some bread. We drink a cup every once in a while. As a reminder of those things. Of this great promise that God has made to us, that what he accomplished in his Son Jesus Christ, everlasting life. It is so easy to get distracted, is it not? I don't know about you. It is so easy to get distracted in this life with this thing and that thing, and this all of a sudden this thing becomes really important, or that thing becomes really important. And so that's why Jesus did this. Right? That's why Jesus instituted this, because he knew we needed something. That as often as we eat, as often as we drink, we remember what we have in Jesus Christ. In our sin, we are helpless. Right? In our sins, we are helpless. In Christ, we are cleansed and we are redeemed. And we have this hope of new life. We have this hope of eternal life. In our scripture reading, we read the rest of the passage. It talks about examining ourselves. of not partaking in an unworthy manner. And when you dig into the context of 1 Corinthians, they had pretty much made communion a big, huge party. And Paul's like, no, this is about Jesus. And so as we examine ourselves, as we consider our own lives, I would ask you, examine your faith. Right? Examine your faith. Do you believe? What is your faith in? Is it in Jesus Christ and in Christ alone? Or are you trying to add something to it? Or is it Jesus Christ and, right, this doctrine or that doctrine, or this work or that work? Right? What is it that you're, is there something you're trying to add to it? It has to be Christ and Christ alone. Right? What is your faith in? Is it solely in Jesus Christ? And so as we're called to partake, we're called to examine our lives. We are called to examine our faith, but we're also called to examine our actions. Are we in sin? Right? Do you have sin this morning that you have not confessed to your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? Do you have sin this morning that you know? Right? You know. Lord, I messed up. I knew that I should not have done that. And are you in pride trying to ignore it? Are you in pride trying to say, yeah, whatever, I'm just going to move on with my life? I would ask you this morning to humble yourself and ask for forgiveness. Because that's what we have in Jesus Christ. We are not condemned. I don't care what you've done. You are not condemned. Because of the blood of Jesus Christ. And that is why we partake of this. To remember that. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, as we prepare our hearts and our minds to partake of communion, to partake of the Lord's Supper, I just pray that you convict us. Convict us of sin that needs to be confessed. This morning I ask in our hearts that we would cry out to you, that we would seek forgiveness, that we would confess. And oh Lord, as we examine our hearts, I pray that we would have genuine faith. Faith that is truly trusting in what our Lord Jesus Christ has done for us. In Jesus' name, amen.